T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Tell you how board. 1 hour from now, Elliot Shore Parks joins the show. His observations, Eagles training camp. Is he worried about this passing offense of Jalen Hurts? I am not. 5 days into camp here. And we will get to Bob Wankel later in the show. Crossing Broad talks of baseball here as the trade deadline 1 day away. Now, we promised you an update here. Is this big news, Tucker, we're getting from the update portion of the show in terms of the trade deadline or not?
No, this is pretty lukewarm news, if I had to gauge it.
So what do we got? Phillies, are they in on Carlos Rodon?
So according to Jim Salisbury, who just put this up about 5 minutes ago, the Phillies are not interested in any of the top-of-the-line starting pitching. They weren't in on Luis Castillo, who got sent to Seattle. Mm-hmm. They weren't in on Frankie Montas, who got traded to the Yankees today. They're basically only looking at back-of-the-end guy, back-of-the-rotation pitchers like Noah Syndergaard, like Jose Quintana, even Jordan Lyles or Tyler Mahle of the Reds. But according to Jim Salisbury, the prices on these pitchers is so high that the Phillies aren't necessarily interested in them either, and they aren't even listening on offers for Mick Abel, Andrew Painter, Griff McGarry, among others.
Yeah, here's how I feel about this. At 215-592-9494, it's starting to feel pretty legitimate now for days and days that the Phillies are not – see how I want to phrase this. They're not putting their best foot forward to really – do something this season. That's the feeling I'm getting. And I don't want to use the Andy McPhail term, but it's feeling like it if we don't kind of trade deadline from the Phillies, which is remarkable considering that's not who Dave Dombrowski is. Look, the Phillies swept the Pirates this weekend. They have played good baseball over the last week after struggling, obviously, that first weekend out of the All-Star break. This team is 33-18 in 51 games under Rob Thompson. There is a clear path to the playoffs. The Giants may surrender by tomorrow. I mean, the Giants have had obviously a down year compared to last year, but they're just at 500. There's rumors they may move Carlos Rodon. I mean, they may, in a sense, give up on this season. That could leave seven teams for six spots. Are the Phillies ever going to have a better chance than they have right now with an extra wild card spot? They're one of the 17. They're in a playoff spot right now. I mean, let's just say it for what it is. They're in a playoff spot, and I'm watching other teams in this mix get better. Today, the Padres traded for Josh Hader. The Cardinals are trying to get Juan Soto. You know the Dodgers are going to do something. The Mets have already made moves to get Jacob DeGrom back tomorrow. The Braves are a very, very formidable team. Phillies are there tomorrow night. The Phillies, this is the way I look at it. After what I just watched this weekend, what we've watched under Rob Thompson, 33-18, they are 17-12 without Bryce Harper. This team has earned the right to have something real at it. I'm not talking about the ghost of Noah Syndergaard. I mean, that guy, at one time I thought Syndergaard could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he was for a very brief period, but he's just a shell of himself now. He's a guy in name only. Noah Syndergaard? Jose Quintana's had a nice year, but you know, that's not moving the needle. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, after watching that series this weekend and the way Alec Boehm is hitting, the way Bryce Stott has come around, Gene Segura on his way back, maybe tomorrow. Well, so they could activate Gene Segura any time now. And Bryce Harper today, we get the news that he had the pins removed from his thumb and, you know, the rehab will continue and a hitting progression will start soon. The Phillies have done enough, the way I view them, that they should be pushing to try to win a playoff series. I'm getting the feeling the Phillies are contentious. Yeah, we probably can make the playoffs if we just add, you know, Edmundo Sosa and Jose Siri and Jose Quintana. That doesn't excite me. I mean, the idea, I was watching Sunday Night Baseball last night, and they're talking about, you know, the Giants would be willing to move Carlos Rodon for the right package. That's where the Phillies should be calling. They should have been on a Frankie Montas today. Like, I look at them and say, you have Zach Wheeler. You have Aaron Nola. If they got one more legitimate starter that you feel good about in a playoff game, I feel like we could actually feel like they could do something in the playoffs. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Phillies to make a big move by 6 p.m. tomorrow? I do. And what's surprising to me about this is Dave Dombrowski's whole MO has been making the big move. That's who Dave Dombrowski is. That's why Dave Dombrowski is a guy that's won World Series after World Series. He doesn't make little moves. He brings in big names. He goes and gets difference makers at the trade deadline. And, you know, we're getting the latest from Jim Salisbury, who's obviously plugged in and great at what he does. It doesn't feel like they're going to do that. It feels like they're very content with, you know, a Jose Quintana or a Noah Syndergaard or a small name to basically fill Zach Eflin's role in the rotation. Why not go get a difference-making arm? In a couple weeks, this team could have Bryce Harper and Gene Segura back. JT has turned his season around, which is great. He's been really good over the past month. Alec Bohm has turned his career around and been unstoppable this month. This team has earned, you know, I don't mean the franchise. I mean this group, the 26 of them that have played in the core of this group, they've earned the right to have a chance to do something in October. I think the Phillies are good enough to be there the whole time. And they might make the playoffs even if they make small moves. But does anyone think they're going to make a run in the playoffs if they just add, you know, Brad Keller from the Kansas City Royals to fill Zach Eflin's
role? Is he an all-star?
He's not a real one if he is. But does anyone can they beat the Mets and the Dodgers and the Padres and the Brewers and the Cardinals if they get, you know, Brad Keller? I don't think so. You know, if they get Carlos Rodon, yeah. If they go and trade for a legitimate difference-making arm, yeah, that could make it. Josh Hader was traded today. The Brewers traded Josh Hader today. I mean, I know the Phillies bullpen has been better, but imagine adding Josh Hader to this thing along with Sir Anthony Dominguez. That's a difference-making move. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Phillies to make a significant move by tomorrow? I do. I mean, the names I've heard today, just underwhelming would be the word I'd use. Jackie Bradley Jr., Edmundo Sosa, Jose Siri, Brad Keller. Why are we shopping in the discount aisle? Tucker, what do you think on this? I feel like the Phillies have played well enough for long enough that they should feel like they could do something if they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, they feel too complacent right now.
Yep.
And maybe things will change in the next 24 hours and they'll add a bigger piece. But I just think it's interesting that this is a team that scrapped their full rebuild for this kind of half-baked attempt at spending money and throwing money at all their problems to get to the postseason. And now you're on the doorstep, right? You're a half step away. We can argue that this is the closest they've been to a postseason spot since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And to just kind of shy away from it and not give up Mick Abel or not give up Logan Ohapi or whoever it may be because you don't want to, you know, jeopardize what you're doing 3 or 4 years down the line, I just don't know if that makes sense, right? If you're insistent on winning with Bryce Harper in his prime, if you're insistent on winning with Jeter Realmuto in his prime and Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola and Kyle Schwarber and, I mean, the ghost of Nick Castellanos, even though he's maybe heating up a little bit, if this is your team and this is your core, that's all well and good, but this is an older core. Like, they aren't going to be around in 3 to 4 years, right? Like, outside of Bryce Harper, how many of those guys are going to be here in 4 years competing at a top level, hitting in the middle of a lineup, ready to win a pennant? Like, I just, the way this team is built, they're a decent core, they're fine, but they aren't an ascending team. They aren't a bunch of guys under the age of 25, 26, who you look at and say, wow, 2 to 3 years down the line, you add a couple pieces, they're right there. I mean, this team is built around guys who are in their late 20s, early 30s. The time to win is now. I would trade Mick Abel tomorrow if you get a legitimate starting pitcher to help you in the next 2 years. When that burns you 4 or 5 years down the line, so be it.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying they should trade all these prospects away for rentals, and they don't have to be stupid about it. But, I mean, Frankie Montas went to the Yankees today. He's got a year left on his contract. Luis Castillo. Let me give you this example. The two teams with the longest playoff droughts in Major League Baseball, the Seattle Mariners and the Philadelphia Phillies, in each league, longest drought. Mariners since 2001, Phillies obviously since 2011. Did you see what the Mariners traded last week for Luis Castillo, who comes with an extra year, this year, next year? They traded three of their top five prospects. You know what they're in? They're there. They're in it to win it. This isn't a 500 Phillies team that we're saying, like, they're four out, should they try? No, they're in a playoff spot right now. They're 34-18 over the last 2 months. I mean, if the Phillies aren't all in now, when are they going to be all in? They've survived the Bryce Harper injury. There is a clear path to the playoffs, especially with the Giants fading and maybe surrendering. If they just, half-baked attempt at this trade deadline, it'd be disappointing. They have a chance, and they don't have just a chance to go to the playoffs. They, at this point, look at the projections. The projections have them making the playoffs. What they could do is get better to win a playoff series. If the Phillies could line up, I just keep throwing this name out there because I can't believe he's available. Carlos Rodon is a difference maker. Okay, and if the Giants are surrendering, what do they want for him? Because I want that guy here in Philadelphia. If the Phillies lined up, Carlos Rodon, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola in a best of three. I mean, I don't care who they're facing in that first round, whether it be the Braves, whether it be the Padres, Cardinals, Brewers, they could beat them. That's how good that top three could be. Dave Dombrowski's whole career has been being bold, and now we're hearing it's not going to be. It's disappointing. 215-592-9494. And the reason I'm disappointed is because I'm excited. This team has given us something to be excited about. This isn't fluky. You don't go 34-18 over 2 months flukiness. Like, they're playing good baseball, and they've done a lot of it without Bryce Harper. They're getting Harper and Segura back within maybe the next month. If you add a difference-making arm, and I would even take a bullpen arm. You could win in different ways. But today, Josh Hader was traded within the NL playoff race. So I tweeted last night, someone said, well, the Giants would never trade Rodon here. You make the right offer. I think teams think differently than maybe they used to. The Brewers just traded Josh Hader to another NL playoff team in the Padres. If the Giants are willing to listen on Carlos Rodon, who's a dominant lefty, go make the trade. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Phillies to make a significant move by tomorrow? I do. And I'm sorry, Edmundo Sosa and Brad Keller, that's not significant enough for me to get excited. And I think it's not fair to this team. I think it's not fair to, Rhys Hoskins and Kyle Schwarber, who have carried this thing for 2 months. And Bryce Harper is about to come back. Let's go. Let's go make a deal. Dennis is in Mount Laurel. Dennis is on WIP. Hey, Dennis.
KOEG, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis. What's up, buddy?
I got a trivia question at the end of the conversation, but I want them to make a difference trade now because they've proved that they can win without Bryce Harper. Bring him back. Bring Segura back. Get one more pitcher. We're not going to go up, hopefully, against DeGrom and Scherzer because those two trump our two, no question about it. But other than that, we've got a pretty good shot at this.
Well, they do. And it's funny, Dennis, because if this was only like 3 weeks or so of good baseball, you could kind of say, well, maybe it's a mirage. I mean, they're 34-18 over the last 2 months. They've played good baseball for a while now. I feel like this team has earned, the upgrade, the help, the front office believing in them.
Yeah, and the unknown is what is Nola going to do in late August and through September?
Yep.
And that's when we need him, and he hasn't been there. And as far as the Eagles go, it's practice. AI said it's practice. Let's wait to the beginning of the season. You're right, he is a difference maker in the pocket. When he has to make a decision, he's never going to be the pure passer that some of the guys are, so I'm not worried right now about that, and we do need another pitcher. So that's my take on those.
Yeah,
things.
Dennis, they do. Dennis, what's your trivia question? What we got tonight?
I think you're going to get this one, Joey, so I'm counting on you.
Okay.
Basketball. Who's the only player to average for entire season, lead the league in the college-ranked NCAA, the ABA, and the NBA? Only one player has led all three points per game average for the entire season. Who is it?
Dr. J?
Nope. I'll give you one more shot.
All right, so it's college, ABA, and NBA?
Yep, only one guy has led the league on all three of them.
Not Dr. J. All right. George Gervin?
Rick Barry.
Rick Barry. That's a Dennis, that is a good one. I couldn't pull that one out. I guess how many points per game did he average in those other spots? I imagine a lot.
It was a lot. I watched him play in his prime. He was an exceptional small forward. And you know, he had number 24. Why did he wear 24?
Why is that?
His idol growing up, Willie Mays.
Ah, you know what? That's a good. We got a lot of good Rick Barry trivia there. Appreciate it there, Dennis. He stumped me with Rick Barry tonight.
It's a good 24 note.
It is.
A lot of people
good...
I knew growing up were 24 because of Mike Lieberthal.
Not
that was
Willie
the 24
Mays.
We grew up idolizing.
A little bit different.
A little bit.
Caliber of 24s.
He was the Willie Mays of the late 90s.
Yeah, some people said that. The Willie Mays of the vet. Yeah, that Mike Lieberthal.
He was a two-time All-Star. Right, look at his numbers from 99 to 2000. Mike Lieberthal gets a lot of disrespect.
Does he get a lot of disrespect, or you don't feel he gets enough respect?
I think he doesn't get enough respect.
Okay. Because I can't remember the last time I heard significant Mike Lieberthal disrespect.
You know who reminds me of Mike Lieberthal? Garrett Stubbs.
Because he's smaller?
Because he's a small catcher.
Yeah.
There aren't many small catchers out there.
Lieberthal was listed as 6'170".
Stubbs is 5'10", 170.
Yeah, do you buy that about Garrett Stubbs, though? The 170?
No.
Nah, it's a lie. I mean, the fact that in 99, I'm looking at Lieberthal really had an impressive 1999 season.
I think he got hurt in 2000, the second half of the season.
Yeah, the back-to-back All-Stars, right? 99-2000. And then in 99, 31 home runs, hit 300 with 31 home runs as a catcher at 170 pounds.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I wonder if he's got the highest home run percentage compared to body weight. I mean, I think Yogi Berra was kind of small, so maybe he's got him beat. But that's your boy Garrett Stubbs got a pretty high percentage of home runs per body weight.
That should be a stat. Like Schwarber would be the opposite. Like, he hits a lot of home runs, but he has a lot of mass.
David Ortiz, the opposite. The fielders are the opposite of that.
Right.
Jose Altuve probably would fit into the other category, right? He's tiny, and he's hit, for some decent power at times. Let's talk to Jacob in Vineland. Hey, Jacob.
Hey.
What's up, Jacob? What are you thinking on the Phils?
Not much. I think that they should add another five starter in the pitching rotation. Like, I like the idea of Carlos Rodon. I wish that they were in the contention of Frankie Montas. I think that I could see their number one prospect. I think their catcher could be moved just because he's blocked by JT.
Mm-hmm.
I could even see them maybe moving Didi just because his bat's been very bad lately, and I don't know how much he has on his contract left.
Well, too much, I think, Jacob, considering, the player he is now. It's interesting, and Jacob, I appreciate the phone call. Now, JT's been better as of late. I would say the last month or so, JT's numbers have started to make you feel like you don't want to throw up when you look at them, which is a positive development here. The Logan Ohapi thing, is that's the guy I feel like if they keep saying they don't want to trade any of their top five prospects. If they're going to trade one of these guys by tomorrow at 6 p.m., I feel like it's going to be Logan Ohapi. Two reasons. One, JT has at least come alive a little bit here, so you feel like, okay, maybe he's not just going to be done all of a sudden. Maybe he's got a little bit of run left. They've got and he's under contract for years. Like, he's not going anywhere. No one's going to voluntarily take a 30-something-year-old catcher that's making a lot of money that isn't as good as he was a couple of years ago. Even though JT's improved a little bit here this past month, he's not the player he was 2 years ago. So, this is their catcher now for a while. This is probably the peak of Logan Ohapi's value. He's still young. He's still ascending. It's not like he's losing that prospect status because he's about to be 25 years old. Like, this is it. I feel like he's the one to trade and go get a pitcher. I mean, this team, as much as they have been kind of up and down offensively, they're getting Harper and Segura back. They just traded for an infielder in Edmundo Sosa the other day. I mean, I know center field is something that we've worried about and no one wants to watch Odubel anymore. I'm more worried about a starting pitcher. Ranger Suarez has been much better since he came off the aisle, which is great. I still don't trust Kyle Gibson. And Eflin, who knows if he's going to come back this season? They need another arm. And as I look towards potentially the Phillies in the playoffs, which we haven't seen in so long, that first round series is three games. There's no off days there. you got to start 1, 2, 3. So it's not like, oh, we'll start Zach Wheeler in game one and then we'll just come back with him in game three if they need him. No, it's 1, 2, 3. The Phillies would need to imagine a potential season deciding game. Phillies and let's say the Milwaukee Brewers are playing in Milwaukee, game three of the NL. I guess what are they? Is that the NL? What are they calling that series? Do we know that first round series? The NL wild card series?
I guess.
Okay, game three of the NL wild card series, and the Milwaukee Brewers have thrown Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, and they can roll out Freddy Peralta. And, you know, and the Phillies are throwing out Ranger Suarez or Kyle Gibson. No one wants that. Like, go get a pitcher that can start that game. That's what I think they should be doing. It just seems like they don't think they need to. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. I would think if I had told you 2 months ago the Phillies would be in this position, in a playoff spot, at this point of the season, I think we would all think Dave Dombrowski is going to go for it. And all indications are he's not, and I think he should. Seth is in media. What's up, Seth?
Yo, what's going on, Joey G? Welcome back, bud.
Thank you, Seth. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
I'm angry, man. I am really, really frustrated with this team. I'm frustrated with Dombrowski. These guys, let me start with the team first. These guys have played their tails off without two of their most prolific hitters, you know, without their best player in Bryce Harper. And Gene Segura was a big piece that went out. Some of the guys that have been slipping have started to come around. The young guys have stepped up big time since Harper went down. The bullpen has stepped up huge and helped carry these guys. I mean, they've done all of the things that we've asked them to do as fans, that they've counted on each other for as players. And Dombrowski cannot leave this city hanging when we have a chance to secure a playoff spot by making a good run with adding a solid pitcher. You know what they need? I was just thinking about this on hold, that I feel like they need to add a player like a Jason Worth, or to make a different sports analogy, a Jay Ajayi. You know, they need somebody that's going to – the bump, the guy that's going to help get them up over the hump and make sure that they don't even – not only get to the playoffs, but can contend, can win a series. You know what I mean? If they get in there now with the team that they have now, even with Harper back, I don't think they're going to be good enough to really, you know, hold up against some of those West Coast teams. I just don't.
Yeah, Seth, I feel the same way. And I feel like it's almost – like the complacency here is, you know, we could also be disappointed in September, Seth. Like, you know, if it turns out there's seven teams for six spots, let's say the Giants kind of bow out and it's seven teams for six spots. Well, that means one of those good teams is going to go home. And I think it'd be so disappointing if they came this far, they get Harper back and they miss the playoffs by a game or two. And we're sitting there in September like, why didn't they try harder at the deadline?
This is his opportunity. This is right now is his opportunity to make sure. And you know what? If he goes out and he makes a move and he gets somebody and they still miss it, or they get in and they get knocked out in the first round, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? But it's a cost. What it would actually cost them to do that, weighing the pros and cons of it, I don't see how any general manager in the league can look at the Philly situation right now and say, no, we don't need to go out and get somebody.
Yeah,
we can get like you said, a discount guy. Man, I'm over that. I am so frustrated right now with this team. The city needs playoff baseball. It deserves it.
And they're good enough to make it. Set the preach the phone call. That's the part that is puzzling. Like if they were, and I, you know, I, as much as if we don't bother the heck out of me when McPhail said it, I understood it. That team wasn't that good. They were in the cycle of that team. They weren't ready to win anything anyway. Like, you know, the Machado rumors that were there that year, or other players that were out there. Were the Phillies really in a position to give up their two or three or four best prospects for a rental? No. I mean, that's what the Dodgers were in position to do, because that's who the Dodgers are. That wasn't the Phillies. But now, and I appreciate that Dave Dombrowski doesn't want to be stupid about this, so it's not a trade that burns the city 3 or 4 years from now, but they can't pass this up. This team has played good baseball for 2 months. Their younger players, Stott and Boehm, have come around. Ranger Suarez has bounced back. They've played well on the road. The manager switch has worked. Like, it's all gone right for 2 months. And to respond to that with, well, we'll just get Edmundo Sosa and, you know, Brad Keller or Jose Quintana and go get them, guys, that would be disappointing. I want the Phillies to make a difference-making move between now and tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And if it takes a real prospect, it's okay. I mean, I'm not looking to give away these guys, and I wouldn't do it for nothing or just a marginal player. I understand that, but Carlos Rodon is out there. The Giants are willing to listen. There's probably two or three other players we don't even know that are on the market. Josh Hader got traded today. If Josh Hader could get traded, other big players could get traded. I want the Phillies to get a difference-making pitcher. How about you? 215-592-9494. Are you okay with marginal upgrades, or do you want a difference maker? By 6 o'clock tomorrow, we'll come back. Your phone calls, more on the Eagles passing game. Elliott joins us coming up at 8 o'clock. And the Phillies here, I mean, they've done a lot. The good news on Bryce Harper, we'll come back with that. Your phone calls as well. Do you want the Phillies to make a difference-making move, even if it costs top prospect? I do. We'll hit that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We are 2.5 hours away from the MLB trade deadline, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Transactions have to be finalized. We got a lot today, actually. Frankie Montas from the A's to the Yankees. Josh Hader in the surprise of the day goes from the Brewers, obviously, to the San Diego Padres. They actually swapped closers, and the Brewers got some prospects back along with it. So moves are happening. And meanwhile, the Phillies, who have, I think, done more than enough to earn the trust of their general manager, 17-12 without Bryce Harper, 34-18 since June 1st. You know, the Phillies lost as many games in June and July combined as they did in the entire month of May. May was brutal. I mean, let's be honest about what we watched in May. That was very difficult to watch. They went 10-18 in May. They've lost 18 times since. And by the way, for all the Joe Girardi fans out there that want to pretend,
do they still exist?
I know that a lot of people
want. They've been very quiet.
Yeah, they wanted to pretend this. You know, he was kind of an innocent bystander here in this. Both the managers now have managed 51 games with the Phillies. The Phillies have played 102 baseball games. And the Phillies were 22-29 under Joe, and they are 33-18 under Rob Thompson. That is a remarkable turnaround, and it's one that should spur their general manager by tomorrow at 6. I never thought I'd be sitting here saying, hey, Dave Dombrowski, go do something big. Isn't that what we thought we were getting with Dave Dombrowski? Like, I thought I'd be sitting here now saying, uh-oh, Dave Dombrowski is going to trade every prospect they have under the sun. Like, who is this Dave Dombrowski, and why is there an imposter here in Philadelphia?
It is interesting because he's always thrown caution to the wind.
Yeah.
He's never been a guy who worried about 4 or 5 years. So now, I mean, even look at that Red Sox team he won the World Series with. He traded everything under the sun to get them to the World Series. And after that, he got fired pretty shortly after. I don't think he made it through another 2 full seasons. And he didn't care. He was gone. He got his ring. He moved on. And I want that guy.
You know what? I do, too. Look, I don't want to trade away 3 of these top 5 prospects for rentals. I mean, there's a line where you don't want to be stupid about it. But there have been Luis Castillo was traded. He has a year and change left on his deal. Frankie Montas, today to the Yankees, a year and change left on his deal. Josh Hader, again, not a free agent after this season. There are players out there that can help that are not free agents to be, that are difference makers. And I'd be willing to give up prospects for those guys. The Phillies, as of right now, the loan acquisition is Edmundo Sosa, who I do think is a really good defensive shortstop. And it's interesting. When that deal came down on Saturday, my first thought was like, is Didi out of here? Because the Phillies are about to have a lot of infielders. They just had to send down the DFA'd Camargo to make room for Edmundo Sosa. But when Segura gets back, he's obviously going to play second base every day. Bryce Stott should play the bulk of shortstop. What does that leave Didi Gregorius? Is Didi a bench player now?
What's he give you as a bench player? He's not a great defender, even though he made that great play the other night.
He hasn't hit.
But he doesn't hit either. Like, he's not giving you pop from the left side of the plate as a bench guy. I don't know what he contributes.
No, I don't either. I think there's a chance Didi's out of here. Not to think anyone wants him in a trade, but I think there's a chance he's out of here and DFA'd within whenever they bring back Segura. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Phillies to go get a difference maker between tomorrow and between today and 6 o'clock tomorrow? I do, even if it costs one of their prospects. I'd be willing to give up one of their top prospects to go get a difference-making player. This team has a chance to not only make the playoffs. I mean, their playoff odds over Baseball Reference are over 70%, but to go and win a series and do something significant, but not without help. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Chris, who's up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Joe? How's
good,
going?
Chris. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Well, first things first, I wanted to say thank you for the Mike Lieberthal representation earlier. You know, as a kid, I had a Mike Lieberthal lunch bar. You know, go to school with my Tomy jersey. So, you know, that was nice to hear Mike Lieberthal.
You know what? It's a bad time. We need to give Mike Lieberthal more credit. That 99 season was incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was growing up in the early 2000s when he was still hitting the ball pretty well and, you know, a good catcher. So, you know, just cool to hear his voice. But I'm also glad to hear the grumblings about Didi Gregorius' lack of production get a little bit more traction, because I've been crowing about this for about a year. Like, he is nowhere near the level of player that when they signed him, we were all really excited for, because, you know, they added Segura, Gregorius, and I was excited about Segura. I was excited at the time about Gregorius, and he has just come nowhere near. Last year, his batting average is about barely better than it is right now. And they DFA'd Camargo and assigned Sosa, and it's just confusing as heck to me as to why they are making these moves that are just kind of shuffling deck chairs around an infield, which you have all these young guys who, like Stott, who has been, you know, getting more productive. You know, he had that walk-off a couple nights ago. Like, I don't know why he's not getting more time at shortstop instead of Gregorius, because it's like he's been injured the entire year. You never hear his name, you know, for, oh, yeah, Gregorius scores on that plate. No, it's like he's the invisible man out there. And the last time I think we talked about Alec Boehm and his turnaround after the fans got on him.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, it's crazy to watch. I mean, no one could get him out right now. I mean, he just had one of the great months in Philly's history. I mean, the guy hit .430 in July. It's nuts.
I'm loving it. And, you know, and even JT, after he had, you know, the fans get on him as well. You know, like, you know, all credit to Thompson. He's doing a great job. But the last time I think we talked, I think Girardi was still the manager, and I was like, the fans are doing a better job of motivating these people than the coaches seem to be. But, you know, credit to Thompson, he's doing a great job. But I think Didi is just too old in his ways. He's fallen off. The last year before they traded for him, he wasn't New York Yankee Gregorius anymore. And, you know, it's just too cumbersome of a contract to really try to ship him away, because, you know, what are you really trading for? His defense? Like, he's really offering nothing that these young guys can't do better, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I just don't know his place on this team. Like, once Segura gets back, Stott's got to play. I mean, he's got to play. And now, they trade for Sosa, who looks like a, you know, the kind of guy that could come in, you know, defensive replacement for Stott late in games. I'm okay with that. But I don't see how Didi's going to have any playing time on this team now.
And, yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, nothing against the guy, but I just don't see a future for him if these guys make a deep run in the playoffs. And the last thing I really wanted to ask you about is, you mentioned earlier that you don't think Quintana would move the needle as much as a guy like Rodon. And I just, before I go, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Chris. Always appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, like, Jose Quintana's had a nice career. And, you know, there was a time 5 or 6 years ago where he did pitch like a difference maker. He was really good with the White Sox. The Cubs traded for him at one point. They gave up a lot. I think they gave up Eloy Jimenez to get him. The Cubs, White Sox made that trade, you know, a few years ago.
And Dylan Cease.
Wow. That was actually a bad trade then. Because Cease has become a Cy Young kind of contender now for the White Sox.
2.01 ERA. Whew. I'd rather have that guy.
Me too. Can we get him? I don't think so. The White Sox are still trying, even though they're about a .500 team. They just traded for an ex-Philly, Jake Diekman, as the trades start moving now with less than 24 hours to go. But no, here's how I look at Rodon. There's one pitcher left, that at least of the ones that we know are kind of on the block. I mean, there could be a surprise. Josh Hader was a little bit of a surprise. But Carlos Rodon is the one guy that I think you could roll out there in any playoff game against any of these teams, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Mets, and you say, you know what? He could shut them down tonight. I mean, do you honestly think Jose Quintana or Kyle Gibson, and Rangers pitch better lately, but you know, even Ranger Suarez, like, do you feel like, you know what? He's shutting the Braves down tonight. Probably not. Now, he might be able to give you a decent outing, but he's probably not shutting that offense down. Carlos Rodon could shut any offense down. That's why he's who he is. That's why he's probably going to get a $100 million contract after the season, assuming he stays healthy through it. And that's why the Giants might trade him, because he could walk away, and they're trying to get something for him before he leaves, and they might not make the playoffs anyway this year. So I just – Dave Dombrowski, there's pros and cons to having him as a GM. Obviously, the pro is he's won everywhere. He's good at what he does, and he knows what he's doing. But I've never known him to be passive at a trade deadline. And for, like, when I hear names like Edmundo Sosa, Jackie Bradley, and Brad Keller, doesn't that stink of Kyle Gibson, Ian Kennedy, Freddie Galvis? That's what we did last year. And this team's better than last year's team. Like, this year's team, we should be more invested in than last year's team. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Phillies to go after a difference maker, even if it costs one of the top prospects? I would do it. I'm not sitting here banging the table like, I want to get rid of Andrew Painter and Mick Abel. I don't. And I think it'd be fine if they took one of the – Painter seems like he's kind of jumped above the rest, and he's the one that has the most upside and promise. If they want to take Andrew Painter off the table, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with saying he's our untouchable. But when you start including Griff McGarry and Mick Abel as complete untouchables, I think you're cutting off potential of doing something to help this team right now. And it's a win-now group. Go make it happen. Let's talk to Billy T in prison. What's up, Billy T?
Well, Joe, I got to say, I you know, everybody, you know, like, give it away. You know what, Joe? Wrong. That's what got us in trouble to begin with, okay? And I don't think we should try to get, you know, give up our best players. Let Dombrowski build the organization. And if you, I think we need a pitcher, but Syndergaard is the right guy.
He's not any good anymore.
Joe, what do you mean he's not any good?
He used to throw 99, 100. Now he throws 94. He doesn't strike batters out anymore.
Now I know you do not understand pitching.
Sure I do.
Now I know.
Sure I do.
Because, you do? What's his other pitch?
His other pitch? He throws a two-seamer. He's always thrown the slider. I mean, I've watched Noah Syndergaard pitch a lot.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's throwing a sinker. That's a
two-seamer is a sinker. That's what I'm talking about.
Don't tell me, Joe. I pitched. I know what a two-seamer is. I threw a two-seam fastball.
Yeah, that's a sinker.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's what you get ground balls on, Billy T. It's a two-seamer.
Joe, you are so wrong. You can throw a two-seam fastball, a four-seam fastball. They have different runs.
Right. One goes the opposite way as the other. One, you get grounders on. One, you get strikeouts on.
No. You shouldn't say that to the audience because you're wrong. A four-seamer stays flat, okay? Because the four-seam spins flat. A two-seamer moves in. It may move down. It may move a little bit up and in.
Guess what, Billy T? Whatever he's throwing, he's not missing bats anymore. That's the problem.
Well, not with fastball.
No, not with anything.
All right.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't strike batters out anymore.
Joey just came off Tommy John.
I understand, but and maybe a year or two from now it'll come back. But this year he's not striking batters out.
Let me ask you a question: is he better than Falter?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
But wait a second. But are we looking for a number five, or do you want to go win a playoff series, Billy T?
No, I want to win a playoff series.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he's a quality starter. He doesn't have the gas he used to have, but he knows what to do when he's on the hill. All right? He can throw a very good sinker, which is now his out pitch. He's learned the pitch. He's still bringing the ball at 94.
Yeah, but he used, to bring it at 101.
Joe, I'm not living in yesteryear. I'm living in today.
But I'm living in today, too. And he's,
no, you're not, Joe.
Well, no, I am. Joe, he's not. Is he a difference maker? Difference maker.
Well, I think versus Falter, yes.
Well, I mean, most guys, you could find five guys on the street right now, Billy, that are upgrades over Bailey Falter. Difference maker.
Joe, I'm telling you right now, we do not dig a hole the way we dug earlier with our farm system. That's all I'm saying. And I think he's a quality starter, and he can get the job done. That's all.
Well, you know, and you know what? And he might have, and I wouldn't rule out, Billy, you know, I always appreciate it. I would not rule out Noah Syndergaard coming here and helping the Phillies reach the playoffs. He's not bad. I haven't said he's bad once. Is he a difference maker? At one point, Noah Syndergaard was a difference making pitcher. He's not anymore. He's a guy now. I mean, he has the name. He has the look. He still looks like he used to. He's Thor, right? He's gigantic. He looks like a difference maker. He doesn't pitch like one anymore. I wish he did. I used to love Syndergaard. Like he could be a Cy Young winner, but he had a lot of injuries, and they took their toll. I mean, his strikeout rate's below average now. I mean, really, is there much of a difference between when they traded for Kyle Gibson last year? I'm talking about, like, the way they pitch. Obviously, Syndergaard has a bigger name and had a higher profile at one point, but there's not that much of a difference in the profile of the pitcher last year Gibson, this year Syndergaard.
Actually, Gibson and Syndergaard this year have the same K per nine. You want to strike people out like Kyle Gibson, you look at Noah Syndergaard.
Right, like that's what he's become. I mean, you know, he can get some outs, he can get some ground balls, you feel like he could keep you in the game, but that's not the guy. Like, does anyone feel good about throwing that kind of pitcher out there against the Cardinals in a playoff game? Or, you know, the Dodgers if they get past the first round? Like, no, I mean, of course not. I'm hoping for something bigger and better than that when we get to the trade deadline. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Cashmere in Pottstown talking to Phillies trade deadline. What's up, Cashmere?
Hey, what's up there, Joe? So I can see two sides of this debate. So I can see the side where, listen, hey, I can see where you're coming from, Joe. Like, listen, and like you said before, you actually wrote the article, and it was a well-done article, when you said basically the Phillies have Bryce Harper in their prime, who's playing, until he got injured, was playing like another MVP, you know, and they've played just as well without him as they did with him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So and to go back to that, if people didn't read it or don't know what we're talking about, like my point was they can't waste these years. You don't get these opportunities where you have a chance to make the playoffs, the great player in his prime. It's all kind of lined up, and it's changed a little bit, but they're in this spot right now where they've got a chance, and I'm just worried they're going to kind of like, you know, go at it halfway, and then we're going to be disappointed.
I mean, I can understand, like, you know, but I can understand, like, the other side as well, because, you know, we do have JT in his prime. We do have Bryce Harper in his prime. We do have Alec Bohm coming into his prime. We do have Bryson Stott. I don't think he's in his prime yet, but he seems like he's coming around. And I believe Bryson Stott, I don't know about you, Joe, but I believe Bryson Stott can be a good player going forward in his career. I do believe that. You know, also, I mean, maybe Nick Castellanos gets it going. He had 11 hits in this weekend against the Pirates. But I can also understand, like, the other side, because, Joe, if you remember 2020, Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail, well, they weren't technically fired, but they were let go. They were basically fired. We knew what that was. And John Middleton used the word systemic when he talked about the Phillies farm system. And he said, we need to start drafting and developing players in our own farm system. We need to start doing that, you know, and I would agree, and I'm sure you would agree as well. They need to do that to be more successful, because if they want to be the Braves, if they want to be the Dodgers, if they want to be the New York Yankees, that's what they need to do. They need to draft and develop players in their own farm system. However, I understand that, and I have no problem with, like, you know, I have no problem with, you know, keeping an Andrew Painter and keeping, say, maybe a Johan Rojas, who might turn into be a, I don't know, he might turn up to be a Ronald Acuna, I don't know. Logan O'Hoppe might turn out to be the next Mike Piazza, I don't know. But eventually, you can't make all five or six of them untouchable. You can't do that. You have to be willing to let go two or three of them, and you have to have faith in guys like Brian Barber and Preston Mattingly and Dave Dombrowski going forward and saying, okay, you know what? Even if we have to trade a Griff McGarry, even if we have to trade a Logan Ohapi, maybe we can still replenish those guys, even if we have to trade a Johan Rojas. They just drafted this kid named Justin Crawford, who's supposed to be the next, who's supposed to be a better version of his dad, Carl Crawford. If they, you know, they need to have better faith in themselves to say, hey, okay, even if we do have to trade two or three of these guys, we can still replenish them in the next draft. We could still sign these guys. Maybe we can find some under-the-radar guys and try to get some and try to bring them into the other way. But, you know, we need to, we do need to rebuild this farm system because Matt Klentak and Phillip Parle, because they didn't know what they were doing. But at the end of the day, this team is 8 games above 500. This is as close they've been to the postseason, Joe, since what, 2011? We tried to get ourselves in it last year, you know, and we, 2018, we tried to get ourselves in it. I've been calling you for 4 years now, and I said, hey, the Phillies might be good, but in, right in the back of our minds, we knew what they were.
Well, yeah, we knew they were too flawed. They weren't deep enough. I just don't want to wake up in September or wake up in October and say they were good enough, and yet it's like they just were missing this one piece, and they can get the piece. They can get it right now.
They can go. I mean, even if they don't get it, go get a Carlos Rodon. What about Pablo Lopez?
Yes.
Take him.
That's a good name. Kasper, it's a good name to bring up. There's guys out there. Kasper, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Kasper's fired up, as always. Fired up about the Phillies. And it doesn't have to be Carlos Rodon's just the biggest name that's kind of floating out there right now because the Giants are like, hey, give us your best offer and maybe we'll move him. Pablo Lopez, potentially available. Again, and there's probably two or three names out there we don't even know about that if the right offer came down, their team would trade them. Today, the Brewers traded Josh Hader. I guarantee you there's a team with a good starting pitcher, a difference-making starting pitcher that would trade that guy if the Phillies or another team comes in with the right offer. This happens every year at the trade deadline where someone moves you don't think is going to move. And when I'm, you know, Jim Salisbury had the latest article. We're going to talk to John Heyman coming up in a little bit about all this. I'm surprised that the Phillies are not one of the Mariners trade last week for Luis Castillo felt like the template for a team that is, you know, it's playoffs or bust, and the Phillies don't seem to be operating like that. Is it? If we don't?
I don't know. It's interesting because the Mariners and the Phillies are the two teams with the longest playoff droughts in baseball.
Yep. One
and
is
the Mariners
like
are
it.
Acting like it, and the Phillies aren't. Like if the Mariners make the playoffs and the Phillies fall short, they're the team with the longest playoff drought. It's not the Marlins. It's not the Royals. It's the Phillies.
And the other NL teams, like there's seven teams right now fighting for six spots. If we take the Giants out, I'm not willing to say they're dead, but they're obviously played pretty bad for a month. So let's say seven or eight teams for six spots. Even if you want to say seven, you think the Padres, who got Josh Hader today, or the Cardinals, who could get Juan Soto tomorrow, you think they're going to sit by and just say, eh, we make it, we make it. No, those teams are going to try. I mean, we already know the Padres are trying. They got Josh Hader today. The Cardinals could have Juan Soto, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado in the same lineup by tomorrow. So they're going to try. The Phillies, you know, if this is an arms race, Edmundo Sosa is not going to move the needle like Josh Hader and potentially Juan Soto, who could move to the other NL wildcard contenders. The Phillies have to play in the arena they're in, and the arena they're in right now is a very competitive top of the National League where you see it. There's seven or so teams, you know, I say or so because the Giants are kind of weirdly falling out, yet they're not dead yet, that are pushing for this. And I see the Phillies and the names they're connected to. Like, you know, I know we've got callers making cases for Noah Syndergaard. It's not the same Noah Syndergaard anymore. That's not a difference maker. A difference maker is Carlos Rodon. A difference maker is a Pablo Lopez kind of move. That would move the needle here for the Phillies. I hope they do something big by 6 o'clock tomorrow. Scott is in Dallas. Hey, Scott.
What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Scott? What are you thinking?
I completely agree with you. Where I disagree with a few callers ago, this team is set up to win right now.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about these guys are just prospects. Painter can make it to AAA and completely fall off. You know, it's like the way the team's built. They're 3-4 years from now, all our bats are going to be old bad contracts. So you want to win 70, 80 games with some great pitchers and a bunch of guys who can't hit anymore and contracts we can't get rid of. It's like the way the team's built. You got to go for it now, and you need to go get a good pitcher.
You got to do it. Yeah, now is the time. You said it, Scott. This is not a young team. Now, Stott and Bohm are younger, and hopefully we'll continue to get better here. But this is, you know, their best players are all around 30, 31. You know, by the time, you're right, by the time those pitchers are really ready, this will be a different team. Now, I appreciate that they don't want to give away everything and they want to be good 4 or 5 years from now with a different group, but you got to also be willing to try. It feels like they're not trying here.
Yeah, and the biggest one that frustrates me, Joe, and I bring this up to you all the time, we wouldn't even have to go out for a pitcher. If we had never just given up on Cole Irvin, I mean, the guy, his whip's down to a one. He's the perfect third pitcher to throw in there. He's not walking anybody. I think it's like 109 innings and like 20 walks. The guy's been – I think he's faced the Astros now 3 times in the last 5 outings. And face the Yankees, and he's dropped his ERA almost half of a point. His whip come down almost 0.2 in those starts. The guy's lights out, and it makes no sense because we gave every other joke pitcher we've had, like Velasquez, all the time in the world. We throw Irvin out there for 1 year, and like, oh, no, he's no good. Like, we gave everybody else who's ever come up all the time in the world, and somehow, like, Irvin looked bad for a few starts and, like, get rid of him.
Yeah, and they literally dumped it for nothing, Scott. It's crazy when you think about it. We appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. A lot to get to rest of the show. We're going to talk to Elliot Shore Parks coming up on all the Eagles stuff, on the Eagles passing game, on Jalen Hurts. What is he seeing at camp? Who's surprised? How about Jordan Davis getting first-team reps? I can't wait to go watch him at the open practice on Sunday. So we'll talk to Elliot coming up. We will bring you the Jalen Hurts interview with Mark Cerise today, which was really – I thought the most open Jalen Hurts has been, and, you know, we don't really get to hear him in settings like that very often. He doesn't do many interviews, and the post-game, pre-game stuff, he's kind of gardening, though. So I thought it was fun to hear Jalen today with Mark Cerise. We'll bring that to you. Bob Wankel later in the show, and John Heyman. We just got word John Heyman's going to have a little time for us at 9 o'clock tonight, so we'll get the latest on the Phillies. What is John Heyman hearing about the Phillies, what they could do by tomorrow at 6? All that to come. We'll start off with Elliot next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.